I'd like to welcome Pastor Perry Payne to share with us this morning.
Thank you, Shiloh. And it's always good, you know, when you think about it, we all are orphans, and God has adopted us. I like what Bill Johnson said. It says, the world is full of orphans waiting for to be adopted. And, you know, we're his adoption agents. We help ones come and help ones to come to know him and connect with him. I know how many of you saw, I know it was on several places this week on television, on Wheel of Fortune. Did you see what happened there with the guy? Well, so you can read this, and unfortunately it was the gentleman there. He was looking right at that, and he said, Flamenco dance lessons. Now, realizing that in society, that's pronounced, a lot of people pronounce it as flamingo dancing. But that is not what it is. It's that. It's flamenco dancing. And because of that, he lost $7,000, a trip to Europe and everything. And it was there. I mean, he didn't have to guess any letters. And the person beside him said it. Because he said, well, you read it. And so they won everything. You know, in our life, we can have such a fix on way, how we're going to see things and how we look at things. It could be right in front of our face and we miss it and we miss the prize. And this was more of a natural things that happened, but we could do that with God. We could do that. We have such a fix of exactly the way God is and the way God should be and the way things should be in life and the way you should be in life that we're so fixed that we miss what's right in front of our face, what's so plain because of our past. And I don't know about you, but I always thought it was flamingo dancing. So that's the first I thought, oh, so that's what it's called. You know, the Bible, several times, there's several scriptures that talks about being careful that we deceive ourselves. Now, if the Bible tells me that being careful, that means I can do it. That's in the Old Testament. They warned him, says, you guys are deceiving yourself. In the New Testament, Apostle James wrote, be careful that you deceive yourself. Jesus warned that there's going to become ones who's going to try to deceive us. So if that's the warning, if they're telling us that, that means I got to be careful because I could do that. I could deceive myself into thinking I'm not being deceived. And so today we're going to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit. And I know many of us know about the Holy Spirit, but when we look at the Holy Spirit, is it flamenco or flamingo? What do we see when we look at the Holy Spirit? Let's just take a moment and pray and welcome the Holy Spirit to help us, because without his understanding, we're not going to see. So Father, we welcome, we ask, we come to you, and we ask that you would just help us to see. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to help us see clearly this day who you are and your heart for us, Lord, and where there's things in our mind from our past and experiences and our old teachings and old mindsets that we need to lay down so we see clearly, that you would help us to do that. We welcome that in Jesus' name. You know, we can learn a lot about the Holy Spirit and learn a lot of facts about the Holy Spirit, which is good to know. It's good to know about the Holy Spirit. And just so you know, this week, finally, the revelation came that if we use stronger batteries in this, the right batteries, it works better. Now, there's an illustration in life. So you got the right batteries for your life? Is your life not working good? You need to check your batteries. You know, maybe you have the wrong kind of batteries. Maybe you need a different type of battery to energize you to make it work better. So Angie and all the people back here appreciate that the revelation finally come that, hey, what if we use different batteries? So anyways, so the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, if you look in the scriptures, right off the very first verse, one of the first couple of verses, it says that the Holy Spirit was here hovering over all the earth. The Holy Spirit is there. The scripture says, if you start looking through in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit gave skills to people to do different crafts and different abilities. And I believe that. I believe the Holy Spirit helps us have different skills and abilities. If you look in on through in the book of Judges and at different times, the Holy Spirit gave leadership to ones in nations, and the Holy, it would say the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to lead the nation and help the nation in there. I don't know if you guys read much. How much have you read the Old Testament? I know part of it still. It's over in Israel. The temple that was built, the Solomon built, that was just unbelievable. It's ornate. It's just a fantastic temple. If you read in the scriptures, it was the Holy Spirit who gave those plans to him. It wasn't something they just came up. Let's come up with some really cool plans. Let's hire the best architects in Jerusalem. That wasn't it. The Holy Spirit gave David those plans, and he went up, and Solomon's the one who built it. King David said the Holy Spirit is everywhere. He says there's no place we can go where the Holy Spirit isn't there. There's no place on any mountain or depth of the ocean. There's no place in darkness. There's no cave. There's no place that we could go on the face of the earth that the Holy Spirit isn't there. The Bible says the Holy Spirit cares for us. If you, a verse that we've shared in here lots is in Isaiah 61. And we talk about it. I always call it the job description of Jesus, which is the job description of the church, which is, he says, to preach the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to give freedom to those who are captive and release from darkness of prisoners. But if you read the first part of that, the whole way that's happening, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me so that I can do these things. So it's the Holy Spirit who is bringing that about that desire to help people. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. In Joel 2:28, which is a verse, again, it's quoted in the New Testament. He says, and afterward, God saying this, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. He didn't say a select people. He didn't pick a gender or race or nation or classification of people. He says, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all people. He goes on, and in the book of John, he talks about that the Holy Spirit helps us worship. He says that yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. The Holy Spirit helps us to worship in truth. Helps us to see and understand what we're worshiping. Jesus called the Holy Spirit in John 14:26. He called him the Advocate. Advocate is someone who's going to be there for you. Is going to help you. Is going to sort of stand in the gap. And he said, the Holy Spirit's going to help you. And he's going to remind you of the things I taught you. And he's going to help you in everything. Basically, what that verse says. And Jesus also says in John 16:13, he talks about him being our guide. He said, the Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. And if you remember the verse, the truth will set us free. So in other words, he's guiding us into this freedom. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says the Holy Spirit gives power. It says, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So that's the Spirit God gave us, not to walk around in fear. The Bible says in Acts 4:31 that the Holy Spirit gives us boldness. The apostles prayed right after they were warned not to speak the name of Jesus. They said, they didn't run and hide and say, Jesus, they told us not to do this. Give us boldness to do it. Help us, Holy Spirit. In ourselves, they were saying, this is intimidating. These are the leaders of a nation. And they're saying, don't talk about Jesus anymore. Give us boldness to do it. And if you read on, they did, and they changed the world after that. The Bible says that in Acts 6:10, that the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. If you remember Stephen, which was one of the first deacons in the Bible, they chose him and six others, and he stood before the leaders, and he says, and the Holy Spirit at that time gave him wisdom that they couldn't even stand up against. The Holy Spirit helped him to know what to say. The Bible says in Romans 5 that the Holy Spirit gives us God's love. That's where the Holy Spirit pouring out in us. It reads like this, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit gives us peace. It says, but the mind governed by the Spirit of God is life and peace. That's in Romans 8:6. It says that the Spirit gives us freedom. So the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. Let's just do that right now. Let's just say, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit helps us to know that, helps us understand that. The scripture says that the Spirit of God helps us know how to pray. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit helps us when we wait on and listen to him, and he prays through us and according to God's will. And he helps us do that. It's in Romans 8. In Romans 14, it says the Spirit helps us live in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians, it says that the Holy Spirit helps us to know God. That the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, knows God. And the Holy Spirit knows the deep thoughts of God. So if we want to know God, it has to be through the Holy Spirit. And that's why I said the world does not understand God. Because if you try to understand God just in a worldly fashion, just with our own mind, it's not going to happen. It says we need the Holy Spirit to help us understand who God is. Another scripture says the Holy Spirit gives gifts as he feels he wants to. In 1 Corinthians 12, he's the one distributing. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of our church. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives gifts to help strengthen and build comfort into the church. The Bible says the Holy Spirit gives strength to us. In Ephesians 3:16, says that we're strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit in our inner being. Holy Spirit gives renewal and rebirth in us through the Holy Spirit. So when we are born again, the Holy Spirit brings that renewing. That's in Titus 3:5. And last scripture on this is Holy Spirit sanctifies us. You wonder what sanctify means. Sanctify means he sets you apart for the purpose and destiny God gave you. If you remember what that purpose and destiny is, primarily is he sets you apart so that you know God's love. He set you apart so that you know the abundant life he came to give you. He set you apart so that you can have healthy relationships. He set you apart that you can hear from him and have the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. He does that. He helps us live a life that we can receive all that. And you know, and I can know all of these things. I can know everything, all these things I just shared with you. But that doesn't mean I really know him. How many know who LeBron James is? LeBron James, you know who he is? He's a NBA, great NBA basketball player and everything. And I don't know if you saw his shoes on the back. He got new shoes. On this one, it says, I am. And this one says, King. So he's King James. That's what they call him. So anyways. So, and I can start telling you about LeBron James. He's a fantastic basketball player. Came right out of high school, went to pros. I could start telling you, I could say, yeah. I said, yeah, we sat there, we start talking, you know, and I start saying, you know, that, you know, yeah, LeBron, I know his mom, you know, she really struggled. LeBron, she was pregnant when she was 16 years old, single mom, had to go through all this stuff and try to work and support him, finally made a decision. Yeah, I know his mom, you know, his mom, she finally had to got somebody to help him. We got interested in basketball. I can start telling you all kinds of facts about LeBron and his livelihood and how he grew up and the things he went through and how he played high school and the school he went to and his friends, who they were, some of his closest friends. I could tell you about that. I could I can even tell you what his favorite cereal is to eat. Trix. He likes Trix. His favorite cereal is Trix. I could be sharing all this stuff with you and tell you about it. I could tell you that, you know, right before he goes for a pregame meal, he really likes to eat shrimp and chicken, pasta. That's what he likes. He likes a pregame. I could share this with you. And we could just sit there and chat about LeBron. I say, yeah, you know, I could tell you maybe last week what he did. I could even be one of his Facebook friends, along with the other 23 million who's on his Facebook. See, I'm one of his friends. I don't have to tell you there's 23 other million of them, or over 23 million. But the reality is, I don't know him. He's not, I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy, but I'm not really his friend. I'm deceiving myself. And we could do that. We could deceive ourselves into thinking just because we know facts that we have a relationship. You know, God doesn't want us to live just in a factual relationship with him. He wants us to really be his friend. He wants to really be our friend. We've heard that today, how much he's for us, how much his grace is constantly there, how much he loves us. He wants us to know him as an advocate and as a guide and as a helper and as a friend. And he wants us to know all that about and realizing, you know, the Holy Spirit is God. So when the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. That includes the Holy Spirit. That's just not the Father and Jesus, you know, coming up. The Holy Spirit's right in there where he is. The same verse that says, for while we were yet sinners, in John 5:8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the same Holy Spirit. So to think the Holy Spirit is only there when we're worshiping, or only there when we're doing something, quote, spiritual, it's not true. He's there with us all the time. So how we have this true relationship with the Holy Spirit? How does that start? Well, the first thing, there's a verse in Ephesians 1:13. It says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The only way we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit has to come through putting our faith in Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. Now, the Holy Spirit, I believe, works with people and draws people. And because remember, he poured out on all flesh. And I thank God that he's working with everybody. And he's wooing them and drawing them. We still have that free choice whether we want to listen. But believe me, I believe the Holy Spirit, you don't have to believe me, but the Holy Spirit is drawing ones to God, drawing ones to Jesus. It says, when we receive that we become a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. When you receive Christ, and that's in 1 Corinthians 3:16, says that we are God's temple. And that he put the Spirit a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. I have this guarantee. You ever bought something that has a guarantee or warranty? You ever had to use that guarantee or warranty? Well, we're all going to use that guarantee or warranty someday. When we get to heaven, when we die, that guarantee is going to in there and says, yeah, I'm guaranteed I'm going to heaven. I don't have to question. I think, boy, I hope I get in. I hope I make it. You don't have to hope that you make it. You have a guarantee through Jesus Christ that you can get into heaven by your putting your faith in him. But you also know, most of us, that just living at the same address with somebody doesn't mean you have a relationship. And it's the same thing. Just because the Holy Spirit dwells in us doesn't mean we have a close relationship with. Doesn't mean we have this great relationship. It does. If we want a healthy relationship, it takes work. Just same as here. You know, if you think you're going to have a healthy relationship with somebody and not put any effort into it, you're deceiving yourself. It's not going to happen. So how do we build this healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit? Well, first of all, outside of the thing I said, first of all, is receiving Jesus. It's just like any other healthy relationship. Communication. Norman Wright, I don't know if you know who he is. He's a Christian counselor, been around for years. He actually was, one of the books we use for premarital counseling. And he wrote a book called Communication, Key to Your Marriage. He believed that communication was the key to any successful marriage. Not financial. Even though the world says, you know, one of the main reasons for divorce is money. He says, yeah, he doesn't believe that. He says, believe the main reason for divorce is breakdown in communication. Somewhere in there, something happened with this. And the same thing with God. That God wants to talk with us. It's two ways. It's not just this way, that way, or not just him to us. He wants to hear our heart. He wants to hear our hopes and dreams. He wants to hear it, even if they're wrong. Sometimes we're afraid, well, if I don't say the perfect thing to God, I shouldn't talk to him. Say whatever, you know, talk to him. Let him hear your heart. He wants to hear us, and he speaks to us in so many ways. I know this is one of the main ways I believe we hear from God is listen and in the word, but he speaks to us in so many other ways. You know, the scriptures are not an end in themselves. The scriptures was a means to help us have a relationship with God, to point us to Him. It's just like if I only had a relationship and the only thing I ever did and have a relationship with somebody is read something they wrote, I'm really missing out on what really relationship. That's the same with God. He wrote, He gave us this, but that wasn't the whole purpose of Him giving us. Purpose is that we know how to have a relationship with Him. We know how to, what, who He is and how to love Him and how to relate to Him and walk with Him. Scriptures give us some instructions on how to relate to the Holy Spirit. One of them in Ephesians 5:8 says, do not be drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So how do I be filled with the Spirit? Ask. And it's not a one-time ask. Say, Lord, fill me today. Fill me right now. Fill me this moment. You could ask 100 times a day. I need you. Fill me up. The word debauchery means that, and it's not just wine we can be drunk on. We can be drunk on all kinds of stuff in the world. We can be drunk. It basically means there's an excessive indulgence in something. I can have an excessive indulgence in watching video games. I can have excessive indulgence in watching LeBron James play basketball. You know, there's nothing wrong with those things in moderation and not controlling you. But he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's one thing. Another verse, Ephesians 5:19 says, do not quench the Spirit. The quench means extinguish, to put it out. In other words, I'm not going to pay attention to Him. I'm not going to listen to what He's saying. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And you think, well, how do I know it's God? Well, how many of you in here believe you misheard God at one point? All of us have. It's trial and error. You know, God's not just because we miss Him. Doesn't mean He's going to leave us or forsake us. He's more committed than that. He says He will never leave us or never forsake us. Another verse, Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, don't make Him sorrowful. Listen and find out what's a joy to Him. It's the same thing in a healthy relationship. If a relationship is only, hey, you do what I want to do, I don't care what you want to do. That's an unhealthy relationship. It's listening. Say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What are we going to do today? What's the adventure today we have? And you know, even if we grieve the Holy Spirit, He still loves us. How many of you have had somebody grieve you, did a decision, made a decision who grieved your heart, but you still loved them and you still accepted them, you still were committed to them? Probably most of y'all, every parent probably has experienced that. The Bible says Hebrews 3 says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did. This was talking back then in the Old Testament, but speaking to us today. Again, if it tells me, do not do this, and I think, I can do this. I can harden my heart to God. I can harden my heart and not pay attention to what He's doing. So how do I harden my heart? How do I keep my heart from hardening? The main reason is allowing the master sculptor, God, sculpt our heart. Allowing the pliability and say, God, you just go ahead and work. You go ahead and do your work. You go ahead and ply and like clay and work. And sometimes He might have to squeeze pretty hard. Because you know, clay can get hard and one of the ways to get soft is squeezing it. And He might have to squeeze pretty hard, but realize that He's the master. And He loves you. There's no other hands that's going to touch your heart that loves you more than God's hands. One of the things it says that sin can harden my heart. And the way I keep it soft is say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. I repent. And we say, well, but what if you did it? What if you sinned 5 times the same thing in one day? You know what I need to do? God, forgive me. I'm sorry. You know how many times He's going to forgive me? 5 times. What if it's 100 times? You know how many times He's going to give me? 100 times. That's the way I keep my heart pliable, keep my soft. I realize, okay, I blew it, God, forgive me, let's go on. That takes faith. You can't go when you blow something, mess up, and go say, well, I'll be back in a week, God, because I'm going to go do all these good works so You love me now. That's not the way it is. He loves you. Your good works your sins are forgiven through Jesus, not through any good work you could do. Unbelief can harden my heart. Say, Lord, I'm struggling here to believe. It's okay to tell God, I'm struggling. Help me increase my faith. Disappointment can harden your heart. We just declare, God, and I think Elizabeth shared it. God, I trust you. I trust in you. When disappointments come, I don't understand it, God, but I trust in you. And this is a biggie, a big one that will harden our hearts just like that. Unforgiveness. An offense. We were at a, Grace, we went over to Indiana Wesleyan on Friday to visit the school for Grace as our daughter, for those who are visiting or guests today. And there was a gentleman sitting beside me, and we were talking. He's from South Korea. He's been here. He's an engineer, been here about 18 years. We were discussing. And then he started telling me, he says, you know, he said they were struggling, and they're in this church. I'm not going to tell you what it was or anything, but he says, we're just struggling, and we don't know what to do and everything. And I told him, he says, well, he says, whatever you do, do not leave out of an offense until you resolve that. Till God's done that work in you. I'm not saying that God might not be calling you someplace else. But if you're leaving out an offense, you need to resolve that. And get. And then afterwards he stood up, he goes, I don't know why I've told you all these things. I don't even know you. I said, well, God had an appointment. So, but forgiveness, forgiving others. Don't walk in unforgiveness. It'll rob you. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Those three things, if you walk in unforgiveness, will happen to your life. He will steal your life. He will kill your life. He will destroy your life if you walk in unforgiveness. It's sad to see people walk in that and see how the enemy is just robbing them of the abundant life that Jesus came to give him. Jesus in Acts 1:8, if our musicians come back up, please. In Acts 1:8, It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit, this is Jesus talking, come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even the remotest part of the earth. You know, we witness first by our lifestyle, not by our words. And he said, you're going to receive power to be the life he's given you. You'll receive power to be a mom. You receive power to be a dad, to be a grandma, to be a grandfather, to be an aunt, uncle, to do your job he's giving you to do your chores at home. You receive power to be at school, to be a friend, to be a neighbor. You will receive power to live these things. And out of living that power of God, you will be a witness for me and testify about me. Apostle Paul said, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That word keep in step basically means that our life is aligning with the Spirit. Realizing that alignment, the more we keep in step with the Spirit, the more we're going to find the very purpose, the blessings of God, the joy of God. We're going to find that abundant life He came to give us. He came to give us life and life to the abundance. And that comes from listening to the Holy Spirit and following after Him. If we could go ahead and stand. If you would, please. If our personal ministry team would come up here, these team members up here would be here to pray with you about whatever you like prayer for. But one of the things, maybe you know that I don't have the Holy Spirit because I've never received Jesus as my Savior. You know, that can happen right today. It's not a complicated thing. Just asking Jesus, Jesus, I trust in you, I believe in you as my that you died for my sins, and I ask you to forgive my sins, and I receive you, your forgiveness, and I receive you into my heart as my Savior. And however you want to word that, there's no catchy words, there's no specific words, well, I left this pronoun out or that verb out, so I'm not saved. It's however, it's your heart. Or maybe you have been to a point where you've not listened to the Holy Spirit. There's just a distance there, and you say, I just want refilled with the Holy Spirit. You could do that right now in your seat. You could ask, come up here and have one of these ones pray with you. Maybe you've walked in unforgiveness for so long that it's just hard. So I say, Lord, help me to forgive. He will. He will help you forgive. Again, these ones can pray with you about that. Or you could pray with yourself. But let's just pray, stop and pray together and welcome the Holy Spirit again to fill us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your willingness to come and give life to us and provide that we can receive your forgiveness, that we can receive the Holy Spirit. And we welcome the Holy Spirit. We welcome the Holy Spirit this day afresh in our heart and our life. If that's something that you said, I welcome you afresh today. If you just lift your hands up to the Lord, and we're just going to welcome it just as a symbol saying, Holy Spirit, I just surrender my heart afresh to you, filling me afresh with your love, filling me afresh with who you are, helping me to hear you, helping me to build a healthy relationship with you, help me to walk in the freedom that you came to give me. Just welcome that. Help me to find the destiny and the purpose for my life. We give you glory, Father.